Did great considering your voice there. That was very good job. It's awesome. How you feeling? Want to preach here? No, just kidding. Oh, hi. I didn't know you people were here. Kidding. It's great. Well, I'm excited today. How many of you are excited today? All right. That's excellent. I want, as Mandy drew attention to tomorrow, we've declared tomorrow a day of fasting and praying because of tomorrow evening. But it's good for us to fast and pray. It's good for us to do that as God's people. And so I'm in a sense, with trepidation, I'm excited tomorrow, about tomorrow. So, but please be in prayer. Really, really would love that. I want to just also fill you in that Arnold Littlefield's stepfather passed away, and so he's headed off there to be with family. So we need to pray for Arnold. And Edie Glendenning, she had surgery again this past week, and she's here again. Man, you have surgery and then you appear. That's just great. That's good. Isn't that great? Edie, that's excellent. So God is good. Thank you. God is good. Right on. So we need to lift those things before the Lord and in prayer. So let's come to Him and let's pray together. Father God, we come to You, our Father, our Lord, our Savior. And we cry out to You, Lord. And we ask You to just forgive us where we failed You. We pray, God, that you would just cleanse us whiter than snow, God, from those things that stand between us and You. And Father, we want nothing more than to praise You today and to worship You. And God, we do that even now, even as we've sung, even as we've heard Scripture read before us. God, we've worshiped You with our whole heart. And we continue to do that as we pray. And we think of Arnold today, and we pray, God, for the Littlefield family. We pray that You would give them strength during a time of grief. And we pray, Lord, for Roy's family as well, that You'd be close to them during a difficult time. And Father, just give Arnold safety as he travels and give him Your comfort and Your grace. We thank You, God, that Edie's here again with us. And Lord, we know that You have guided the surgeon's hands through this week. And so we praise You for what You've done there. And Lord, for all the other needs that are around us and among us as a church family, we give to You. We think of Selma and Seaver and Nathan and Doug and Lori and Connie and Judy and Megan. And God, we lift these individuals to You and pray for Your continued strength upon them, healing upon them, God. And we pray for their families, their loved ones. And we pray, Father, that You would just use them as an encouragement to these family members. Father, we pray for doctors that You give them wisdom as they treat each situation. Lord, You know best, better than we do. We think, Lord, of those who are unable to attend services with us, and we think of Mary and Annette, and God, we pray that You would encourage them in some way today as well with Yourself. Maybe it be someone just coming in and seeing them or reading the Bible themselves. God, we pray that they would be encouraged. Father, we pray for tomorrow, and Lord, we lift tomorrow to You, tomorrow night to You. We pray for our mayor and our city council, and Lord, for the administration and for our neighbors. God, we pray. We pray that Your will be done. Nothing more, nothing less, Your will. And we give this, God, we surrender this to You and pray for Your will to be done. We want nothing more than to be obedient to You, God, as a church. May we move forward in obedience and surrender to You. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. It's great. Well, I know many of you have celebrated birthdays this past week, or I know you're celebrating, some of you are celebrating birthdays even today, and I won't mention my son. He's celebrating his birthday today, so I won't. But don't, you didn't hear that from me. Happy birthday, Nathan! Somebody's great. And it's Chucky's birthday. Who? Chuck? Well, that's you. I got to know your new name. I That's great. Excellent. What was that? I missed that. You can see it.
I named her Charlene.
You named her Charlene. Oh, Georgina did. Okay. Did Bob just go, oh, this is a Chucky, is it? No, okay. Just checking. It's great. It's great. It's fun. Lots of fun. Well, this morning, we've been walking through spiritual giants and learning from spiritual Old Testament giants, and I've really enjoyed this series. I enjoy the biography of the Old Testament saints, and we learn so much from them. But this morning, we see an ancient man coming out to greet us, and his face is weathered, his hands are wrinkled, and there's a hobble in his pace. He kind of looks like me. He's far older than any other human being that we have ever seen. And he turns to us, and he says these words. If you listen carefully, he says these words. One person can make a difference. One person can make a difference. His name is Noah. He has so much to teach us, so much for us to learn about who we are and why we are here from good old Noah. It's like little Dorothy. She was still small enough to imagine that her grandfather had lived through all the events that she had ever heard of. And one day at the dinner table, she looked at Grandpa very intently. And finally, she asked, little Dorothy asked, she said, Grandpa, were you in Noah's Ark? And Grandpa was startled. I mean, you know, most grandpas can be startled. He, you know, certainly not, said. And little Dorothy, without any hesitation, asked, well then, why weren't you drowned? Well, that's sad. Let's board the boat this morning and learn from Noah and his crew as we look at how one person can make a difference. One person can make a difference. One person can make a difference for others. For others. And we're going to start our journey in Genesis chapter 6. And you'll see that one person can make a difference for others. Because the Bible says that Noah lived to be 950 years old. Now how would you like that, eh? 950 years. Yeah, no, I hear that. I agree. What an accomplishment, 950 years. But that's nothing compared to the way in which Noah lived his life. His righteousness saved humanity from extinction. Think of that. The book of Genesis explains the world's condition during Noah's time. And if you look at Genesis chapter 6, and I'm going to start in verse 8. Verse 5, sorry. A little ahead of myself. Genesis 6, verse 5. The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. The Lord was grieved that he had made man on the earth, and his heart was filled with pain. So the Lord said, I will wipe mankind, whom I have created, from the face of the earth, men and animals, and creatures that move along the ground, and birds of the air, for I am grieved that I've made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Now, what a great passage. You know, moving through these opening chapters of Genesis, life quickly degenerated from bad to unbearable. Sin had overtaken the people and was spreading like a fanned flame. And God looked down on the earth and he saw the effects. And I don't know how to best describe this, describe his feeling. But at best, God was heartbroken. The Lord was grieved, it says. He had much pain. With sadness, with sorrow, grieving. You think of that the next moment. You are feeling pain. You think of that the next moment that you are grieving, that you're feeling sadness. God knows how you feel. God looked upon his creation and with tears he said, I will wipe them out. I will erase them from the face of the earth along with every living thing. But praise God. There was someone. One person. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You don't often see the word favor in the Old Testament, the word grace. Yet in the very beginning, we see that word, grace. Begins the whole story of the flood. See, living a life of integrity and obedience to God always has the potential to positively impact other people. It's kind of like the little girl was simply sitting in the corner of her bedroom. She was almost in kind of a little huddle, you know, like she was hiding something. Yeah. She was like this. She kind of turned a little bit to the corner, and she, you know, looked like this occasionally. You know. And Grandma walked by her room and noticed that she was a little girl's like, you know, in this kind of sly position. She's, sweetie, what are you doing? Nothing. Wait a minute. Grandma moved in a little further. What do you got? What do you got there? Oh, just something. So Grandma moved in a little bit closer for a better look, and she saw the three-year-old was eating grapes. And she said, Grandma said, are you eating your little sister's grapes? Nope, said the three-year-old innocently. I'm helping her share. That's thinking of others, isn't it? Living a life of integrity and obedience to God always has the potential to positively impact other people. We don't always see it while we're fighting the good fight, but it happens just the same. Like Dale Moody said this. He said it well when he said, I am only one, but I am one. I cannot do everything, but I can do something. And that which I can do by the grace of God, I will do. I think Dale Moody knew what he was talking about. I think so often, though, we become ingrained within that we don't look out and see others. We only see here ourselves. And we think about ourselves. And just like that little three-year-old, we go into the corner of our room and we huddle and very slyly we just try to get away from other people. Noah was selected by God to build the ark because of the way he lived. Now, before you go thinking that he's perfect, chapter 9 of Genesis explains that Noah was a good man who distinguished himself in bad times, but he was still imperfect. God selected him to build the ark because of his obedience. And fortunately, his obedience didn't benefit just him, it saved his family. In fact, Genesis chapter 7, verse 1 says, let me turn there. Genesis 7, verse 1, the Lord then said to Noah, go into the ark, you and your whole family, because I found you righteous in this generation. See, those closest to Noah benefit most. And when you need to understand, those closest to you benefit the most when you do what is right. No one will ever again fulfill the special role that Noah did, but you don't have to be a Noah to make an impact on your world. Each of us can make the place where we live better than it was when we found it. You think about how you can improve your little corner of the world. One person can make a difference. One person can make a difference for others, but also for future generations. You see, once a young man observed a fellow in his 80s, and he was planting an apple orchard, going around and putting down the seeds. And the old man lovingly and painstakingly he prepared the soil and he planted the little tiny saplings and he watered them. And after watching for a while, this young man, he went over to this older fellow and he said, "You don't expect to eat apples from these trees, do you? I mean, you're in your 80s. And the old fellow looked up and he says, "No, but somebody will. Your actions can help those who come behind you." There's that wonderful Steve Green song that says this: "May all who come behind us find us faithful." Dr. Tony Campolo, I appreciate the man so much, has recounted a sociological study in which 50 people in their late 90s were asked one question. "If you could live your life over again, what would you do differently?" Okay, there's the question. If you could live your life over again, what would you do differently? It was an open-ended question, allowing any kind of response, but three answers kept resurfacing from the people. Okay, number one, "If I had it to do over again, I would reflect more." Okay. Number two, "If I had it to do over again, I would risk more." Number three, "If I had to do it over again, I would do more things that would live on after I am dead." What a perfect description of the preparation for significance. These near centenarians didn't miss any of the traditional trappings of success. They didn't desire more money. They didn't want more power. They even didn't want fame. They wanted to get beyond themselves and do something that mattered boldly and purposefully. They recognized the value of a life given to significance, that one person can make a difference. Now, how about you? I cry out to you, don't wait to reflect, don't wait to risk, don't wait to do more things that would live on for future generations. Don't wait any longer. Today is today. Live for today. Truly embrace what God has created you for. Reflect and risk. Take your life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. What a great hymn. Calls us to do more things that live on for eternity. But often there are those things which keep us from the risk of living. We don't like rejection. We fear risk. And we think different. We can't even make a difference. And just think of those things that if they'd stood in the way for Noah, then you and I wouldn't be here. Last Wednesday, a celebration was held in Detroit, Michigan, at Greater Grace Temple. And the celebration was of a life who caused a movement, Rosa Parks. One person. And those of you who are wondering who she was, Rosa Parks is a tiny, tiny figure who sparked a civil rights movement by refusing 50 years ago, 50 years ago, Rosa Parks refused to give up her seat on a bus in Montgomery, Alabama. 50 years ago. This was during a time of segregated buses. Racism was a real part of living. And Rosa Parks, she was different. Not because of her race, but because she took a risk which transformed North American culture. And Michigan's Canadian-born governor, Jennifer Granholm, spoke at the funeral celebration. She put it well. And she spoke of Parks' strength, and she said these words: "Her greatness lay in doing what everybody could do but doesn't." Her greatness lay in doing what everybody could do but doesn't. Think of where we'd be today without Rosa Parks. God used Rosa Parks to break down barriers, not unlike God using Noah to bring promise even for us today, unlike God using you in so many ways that he intends to do. God's desire is to use your life to impact our world. You got to think of this. Because of God's covenant with Noah, we can be assured that we are safe from the worldwide destruction of a flood. That's good news, folks. In fact, look at verse 21 of Genesis chapter 8. "The Lord smelled the pleasing aroma Verse 21 of chapter 8. And he said in his heart, never again will I curse the ground because of man, even though every inclination of his heart is evil from childhood. And never again will I destroy all living creatures as I have done. What a great promise. What a great promise. One person can make a difference. For others, for future generations, and for God. For God. Now, too often we fail to realize our importance to God. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says this, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. See, something happens. Something amazing happens when we surrender our heart and seek only God. Even those areas in which we've held back, just invite the Spirit of God to break through, to conquer, to create something new in your life. Turn your prayers in the direction of surrender rather than defense. See, God strengthens, God delivers. I love the words of Søren Kierkegaard, who said, the real test of a man is not what he is not when he plays the role that he wants for himself, but when he plays the role destiny has for him. That was the case for Noah. God was discouraged with the people he had created, yet Noah found favor in God's eyes and caused him to save humanity. I often wonder what it was like being on that boat. I do. In fact, I love this little picture. You put it up. Woodpecker's got to go. You know, makes you wonder, you know? Did it happen like that, you know? The woodpecker's got to go. This is great. I got this, and it's just excellent. Everything I need to know about life I learned from Noah's Ark. One, don't miss the boat. Two, remember that we're all in the same boat. Three, plan ahead. It wasn't raining when Noah built the ark. Four, stay fit. When you're 600 years old, someone may ask you to do something really big. That's pretty good, eh? Oh. Number five, don't listen to critics. Just get on with the job that needs to be done. Number six, build your future on high ground. Number seven, for safety's sake, travel in pairs. Oh, I think of the Jehovah's Witnesses. Number eight. Sorry. I'm sorry, that was... just came out, I couldn't stop. Number eight. Speed isn't always an advantage. The snails were on board with the cheetahs. Number nine. When you're stressed, float a while. Number ten. Remember, the Ark was built by amateurs, the Titanic by professionals. Number 11, the final one. No matter the storm, when you're with God, there's always a rainbow waiting. Isn't that good? Because of Noah's relationship with God, he changed the course of history. How are you at being a history maker? Tomorrow evening, as a church, we have an opportunity to make history. We do. To demonstrate love like never before to our city and even to our neighbors. I've seen so much evidence of how God has moved mightily throughout this week. Little things. I open my devotional book and there it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know, there's just what I needed. I went for lunch this past Thursday, and it just so happened as I was going in the restaurant, I see the mayor and city councilor. I went up to them, I shook their hands, and I just quietly said, I'm so sorry that we're putting you through this as a church. You know? And I went on and explained our intent wasn't to harm anybody, but only to provide ways in which we can minister more effectively in our city, you know, kind of like a politician. And I wanted them to explain that we have been praying for each of them, the mayor, the council, you know, and even our neighbors. And then the mayor looked at me. You need to hear this. The mayor looked at me. He thanked me. He says, you know, you don't know how much we needed that. And then he said, Pastor, We want to put out extra chairs for your people to sit on for the meeting. Because the more support that you bring, the better. See, God is raising us up. And this meeting with city council is very important. And the city needs to see people who are positive. The city needs to see all of us. Tomorrow at 7 o'clock, Monday night. If you need a ride, call. If you all call, I don't know what I'll do. But you don't even need to speak in chambers. I'm going to look after that. But please, I call out you. Even come and just sit there and pray. I'm calling a prayer meeting for tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, City Hall. Pray. Pray for God's glory and pray for God's power to be demonstrated to our city, to our neighbor. Not everyone gets the opportunity, a church, to stand in front of city council and address them with the power of God. See, I've come to understand that as I've journeyed with Noah, that we need to make a difference, not just for others or for the future, but we need to make a difference for God. And, there was a song. I got the song. I went onto the CCLI website. What is that website? That's the Christian licensing thing. And this song was running through my mind all week because my wife puts it in the car and it's in the CD, and I often take it out, but I didn't this time. And here's the song. It goes like this. I can hear the roar of a mighty army thundering through the land, flying banners lifted high, saying salvation for every man. They were reaching out to their neighbors. They were reaching out to their neighbors. Healing broken hearts, spreading the good news of the gospel, and shining the light in the dark. Wow. Whatever it takes, whatever the cost, this city belongs to Jesus. People arise, people stand up. Now is the time to harvest. Can you see the tears of our children? Their future's in our hands. I can feel his spirit moving. We're going to see revival in this land. Jesus said, I've come to build my church. We, his church, will arise. Whatever it takes, whatever the cost, this city belongs to Jesus. That song, CD player, my wife's music, which I don't listen to, was there. God was telling me something. I went on this website. This is the interesting thing. I'll go on the website. There's a little bottom of the CCLI. It says noteworthy. And I thought, oh, that's kind of interesting. A little noteworthy. So I go down, I look at the word noteworthy, and underneath it says, if God is for us, who can be against us? See, God is just telling me all along the way this week that, hey, Dev, this has nothing to do with you. It has nothing to do with First Baptist Church. It has everything to do with me. I am certain, I am almost certain that when Noah picked up his hammer and nailed his first few boards together, that his neighbors came over and inquired what he was building. And just then came a response, an ark. And they would say, what for? There's not even any water around here. No, it's going to rain. What? What's rain? No, it must have been the talk of the town. I mean, likely he made the first page of the Jerusalem Herald that said, battle brews over boat. But Noah never stopped building. That's what amazes me. Noah never stopped building. Some people, though, we tend to put restrictions on ourselves because of our talent or intelligence or experience. Others worry about their age. But with God, one person can always make a difference, regardless of the circumstances or the situation. Age means nothing to him. Jesus fed the 5,000. It was a little boy who provided the loaves and the fishes. In the case of Noah, when it began to rain and he entered the ark, he was 600 years old. See, you're never too old, you're never too young to make a difference for God. And I learned so much from good old Noah. He gives us such encouragement. We can learn some great nuggets of wisdom from him. In fact, Noah's words of encouragement to me are these, and I hope they are to you. Number one, don't be afraid to stand out in a crowd. See, Noah knew what it meant to stand alone. No one encouraged him to follow God. Yet Noah stood for God. Even when everyone else in the world stood against God, difference makers are different. Don't let that bother you. Secondly, don't be afraid to do something for the first time. Now, I'm certain it was strange to build a boat far from any sea or river that could even float it. And it never rained before, so nobody could even imagine a flood. And Noah was more concerned with obeying God than looking foolish. So he just kept building. Don't allow the words, it's never been done before, to prevent you from doing what God asks you to do. Thirdly, when you see a rainbow, remember that one person can make a difference. Noah had never seen a rainbow until after he followed through on what God asked him to do. God placed the rainbow in the sky as a covenant, a promise to all humanity that he would never again destroy the entire world with water. The next time you see a rainbow, think of God's promise to you as he says, you can make a difference. You can. Let's pray. Well, every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Maybe you're feeling today like there's absolutely no way that you could be significant for the Savior. But let me tell you that God says that you can make a difference. You really can. You can make a difference in who you speak to. You can make a difference in how you shine for him in a dark world. God says you can make a difference. And I don't know how that pans out. I don't know how that all formulates for you. But maybe you're thinking right now, maybe you think, man, you know, I go to my job every day. Am I making a difference? I'm with my family. Am I making a difference? I even just with my relationship with God, am I making a difference? For others, for future generations, and for God himself, am I making a difference? And you need to answer that. And only you can answer that, because no one can answer it for you. But today, proclaim to him, say, Lord, I want to make a difference. However that is, I want to make a difference for you. And God will use your life in such wonderful ways that you will see his power afresh every day. Father, we're going to be coming to this table. This is your table. And we know, God, that you call us to know you personally, to you call us as your disciples to this table. So God, we just pray that as we even come to this table of promise, that we would be reminded that we make a difference for you, that you have created us to make a difference for you. God, thank you that we can. Thank you that like Noah, we can be used in ways we don't even know how. But God, just use us as a church, as a people, to be effective for you and make a difference, even in this city, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. And now I ask the elders to come and prepare the Lord's table.